Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 30, and we're going to reread verse 6 together. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet thee there. And we're talking about the altar of incense.
Now, I mentioned before the break that this was to be placed in the holy place, not the holy of holies, but it was to be directly in front of the testimony box, which is commonly called in the English language, Ark of the Covenant, anyway, which had the lid. It had what's commonly called the mercy seat where the golden cherubim were on it, where God said that he would meet with them, okay? And so where's God meeting with them? At that tent of the congregation, okay, that where God shows up, all right? Especially if you didn't walk behind that veil. Why? Because God's there, right? Okay. Now, I mentioned something about Hebrews, and I've asked Heather, if she would, to read Hebrews 9, chapter 4. Pardon me, chapter 9, verse 4. Get it right here in a minute.
Which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant.
Now, there's different schools of thoughts on this, trying to interpret it. And some say, some will actually say the altar of incense. Some say the golden censer was in there. Well, neither one of them could have been in there. The only thing that was in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, as we call it, and then the veil was put up. Nothing else is in there. Now, if you look at that in the Greek, it's actually dealing with fumigation. It's actually dealing with perfume. It's actually dealing with odor. Now, Aaron, or the high priest, whomever that was, when they went in that once a year on the atonement to put the blood on the mercy seat, they had to have a censer. They took coals off the altar. Then they put incense on the censer and go in before that Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And so because of language barrier, I think something is missed here in all that. Okay, but we know from Exodus that golden altar of incense was in the holy place, not in the Holy of Holies. I'll fast forward a little bit, because he offered incense at the time of the morning sacrifice and the time of the evening sacrifice daily. But he couldn't go behind the veil but once a year.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have been in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Verse 7. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it.
Right? There it is.
Yes.
Right? Every morning, every evening. Okay?
And when Aaron lights the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations.
So this incense is burned not just when the priest wants to burn it. It's at the designated times in the morning and in the evening. It's perpetual. Okay? Now, notice he says no strange incense was to be offered on the altar. Am I ahead of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead and catch up with me.
You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon.
Okay. And so this is a perpetual thing, burning incense in the morning, in the evening, throughout their generations, okay? Then he says no strange fire was to be burned upon that. Okay, this is a sweet incense that Aaron his offering at that time. Later on, it's going to be whoever the high priest is, okay? Now, in verse 7, it tells you when that incense was offered, when he dressed the lamps. In other words, it's offered in the evening when he lights the lamp stand. It's offered in the morning when he dresses the lamp or snuffs the lamp stand out. Say the lamp was to burn from evening till morning. So at evening he offers the incense, and in the morning he offers the incense perpetually. And he says, no strange incense. Now, we will see here in a little while the ingredients for that incense. No incense that was not made exactly like God said was to be offered on that altar. Man couldn't devise his own thing. I was just talking to Heather just a few minutes ago. This is what's going on in the churches today. People are offering their own incense. This motivated by the flesh, not by the Spirit of God. What God accepts is what God motivates. It's not how good you can sing, how good you can play, how loud you can shout, and how high you can jump. Is it motivated by God? If it's not motivated by God, it's not accepted by God. And people today have devised their own incense. They have their own ingredients. They want to worship God their way rather than God's way. He said, don't you offer strange incense on this altar. And then he went on to say, no burnt sacrifices to be on this altar. No grain offering. No drink offerings to be poured on it. This golden altar is dedicated for one purpose, to offer incense. Okay? This is something you have to understand about anointing. What are you set apart to do? Do it. Quit trying to do what somebody else is set apart to do. God has not called us into stereotype ministry. And yet that's what's going on. This one's trying to copy this one. This one's trying to copy this one. Well, they did this and it drew crowds, and they're doing this and it draws crowds. God never said anything about drawing crowds. He's talking about obeying him, doing things his way. Know what you're anointed to do and do it. You understand? And stay in that sphere of your authority. Don't step outside. You want the blessing of God? Do what God's called you to do. You'll never have to ask for the favor of God or the blessing of God. And so many people are making these confessions about the blessing of God. I don't ask God for the blessing. If I'm obedient to God, I am blessed. If I'm in Jesus, I'm doing things God's way, I am blessed. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me.
Amen.
Not seeking the favor of God. You have the favor of God through Jesus Christ. We need to get all this in proper perspective and start doing things God's way. I'm not talking about living under the law. I'm talking about learning the principles that are revealed under the law and living out this new covenant in the way God wants us to live it.
There's a principle I see in here as far as the, you offer this incense to me in the morning and the evening. I want to be before you in the morning. I want to be before you all day long. I want to be before you in the evening. There's something that we can glean from this. There's too many people that are trying to, I got 15 minutes for you right before I go to work, if that, and that's all I have for you. I'm sorry, Lord, but you know how busy I am. You bless me with the job. You bless me with the family. You know what I got to do. I guarantee you, these priests weren't saying, Lord, you know how busy I am. I bet you they were making these appointments, weren't they? There's a lot in here that we can glean from. Let's keep the Lord before us all day long. verse 10.
Then that'll be a pleasant fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be contaminated with the garbage of the world.
And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord.
So once a year, Aaron, or the high priest, was to make atonement for the altar. And the way he did that was taking blood from the sin offering, put it on the horns, the protrusions of the altar, and this was a perpetual statute for the high priest, for all the descendants of Israel. So throughout their generations, on Day of Atonement, then this altar was to be set apart for the Lord, because it's a sacred altar. Okay? Atoned every year. Why? Because man's sins were just covered for 1 year. They weren't remitted. Okay?
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when thou take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And a half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than a half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls.
So when Moses, and you have to understand when it says Moses or when it says Aaron, this would be for whoever succeeds them in generations to come, you understand? And so I can say it this way, when a census is taken, then there let me say this, the census was always military census. It wasn't just an overboard census. But when you took a census, then there had to be a ransom paid by each individual counted. And actually the census was the people that were able to go to war. Okay? And so they were responsible for giving this money. There's a significance to that. We'll look at it in a minute, which was a half shekel. And according to the shekel of the sanctuaries, and it goes on, 20 gerahs equals half a shekel. And so this offering was to be given to the Lord. Okay? So it's going in to the house of God. And so everyone from 20 years old or older, every male qualified for the military, 20 years old older, was required to give the same amount. It didn't matter if he was rich or poor. This is the ransom. It's one ransom for all. You understand? Jesus has one ransom for all. Now, you can get a little insight into the importance of this. I believe in 2 Samuel chapter 24, it's the whole chapter where David decides he'll number the Israelites. He wants to see how big an army he has. And the result of that was, after he had done it, his heart condemned him, and God sent the prophet to him to let him know that he was going to be judged for what he had done. And so ultimately, without going into all the details, you can read it in 2 Samuel 24, there was a pestilence for 3 days. Killed a lot of people. Why is that? No ransom. No ransom. We don't see anything about a ransom. So it's a direct violation of the law of God or the word of God. Okay? And so it was extremely important that they followed the protocol. He didn't say how often you took a census. He said, when you do, you better pay a ransom. And so I believe that's why the plague was upon Israel, was because it was numbered without ransom. Okay?
In verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money.
You get numbered in God's army, it has to be a ransom. Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ, then you're in trouble.
A true statement. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls.
So this money had a purpose. This atonement money was to be used for the maintenance of the tabernacle of meeting. And then this just served as a reminder to the Lord that they had been atoned. They're not just doing things on their own accord. And this is a problem today. People just doing things on their own accord. They're serving the God of their imagination in the way they imagine that he's to be served. And people are missing God on a regular basis.
Verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn the offering, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations.
So the Lord tells Moses, all right, make this brass wash bowl, fill it with water, for Aaron and his sons to wash their hands, their feet, their works, their ways. Mm. Okay? And before they go in the tabernacle, they better be clean. Before they offer a burnt offering, they better be clean. And you place that bowl between the tabernacle and the brass altar, and they were required to wash their hands and feet before carrying out their ministerial duties. In other words, you be clean before you carry out your ministerial duties. Neglecting to do so resulted in death of the violator. So this was a perpetual statute that God made for the descendants of Aaron in every generation. And if they violated this statute, they would die. Following God's protocol. You understand? God has protocol. He had protocol then. God has protocol now. Not living by law, walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. That's the protocol. Be led by the Spirit of God. And doing things other than that is a violation. When you're ministering to the Lord, you understand what I'm saying.
Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of the oil, and of the oil olive and hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, It shall be a holy anointing oil.
Now, to me, this is interesting, and I'll have just a little bit of information, not much. But this is a special anointing oil, and it's coming from dominant spices. And each of the spices has its own peculiarity. And so he gives the ingredients for this, and I'm taking these into American measurements, U.S. measurement. If the person knows what they're talking about, that, you know, he's talking about what a shekel is, you know. So he says 500 shekels, which 200 ounces of pure myrrh, 250 shekels or 100 ounces of cinnamon spice, 350 shekels, 100 ounces of calamus spice, 500 shekels or 200 ounces of cassia, and a hin, approximately 6 pints of olive oil. And this amount of the shekel is to be based on the weight of the sanctuary shekel, which was believed to be 11.4 grams, approximately 4/10 of an ounce. So from these items, the sacred anointing oil was to be made. An aromatic onion-like perfume is what it is. The anointing oil was to be set apart as sacred. It could not be used for practical use. Okay? Now, this, I fully believe, is pointing to the Holy Spirit. Do not duplicate it. And do not put it on flesh. The Spirit of God is not designed to minister to the flesh. The Spirit of God ministers to the Spirit.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised how people will come and they're in the flesh, thinking the flesh, and they want the Spirit of God to do something to the flesh. Well, he'll tell you to deny that, kill that, put that to death. It's your spirit that needs the attention. You get your spirit right, and it manifests outside. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So the Spirit of God, or this holy anointing oil, was not to be put on flesh. It served a purpose. It was used for setting apart. The Spirit of God will set you apart. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Okay? And so I believe this is the significance. Now, without knowing all the detail, and I haven't really studied out these various spices, just know just a fraction, some were actually bitter. Some gave a flavor. Some had some medicinal purpose to it. Now think about this, and think about this in light of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is covering the bases. So when the Holy Spirit is poured on you, and the Holy Spirit sets you apart and anoints you, it's ministering. He's ministering to us. Okay? Yeah, he may lead you in some bitter places, sweet places, pleasant places. He may have you ministering. He minister to you. You minister to others. You understand? So there's a lot more to this than I know. But I see glimpse. Okay?
Verse 26. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Now, this will give you insight into anointing, okay? Mm-hmm. You look at this, with this sacred anointing oil, the tabernacle of meeting. That's an object, right? The tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table for the showbread, all the utensils, the candelabrum, all its utensils, the altar for offering incense, the altar for offering burnt offerings, all the utensils, the wash base and a bowl and its base, Aaron and his son, all these were anointed. So what does that mean? They were set apart. Each one had its own significant role that it played, okay? And so this brass altar for sacrifice, don't do anything else with that. This golden altar for incense, don't do anything else with that. This candelabra is for illumination. That's what it's for, the showbread. Everything had its own purpose. But all of it had to be set apart before it could be used by God or recognized by God. And God hasn't changed his mind. It's the anointing that sets us apart. Men may recognize you through charisma. God recognizes you through what he has set you apart to do. Anointing, and I'm not talking about goosebumps and feelings and this type thing. I'm talking about set apart. If God has set you apart, you're just as anointed at 3 o'clock in the morning as you are at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're just as anointed on Monday as you are on Sunday or any other day of the week. Anointing just sets you apart for what God has set you apart to do. And it all had to be anointed and consecrated to the Lord before God would have any part of it. He comes after the fact. You set it apart, and I'll come to you. Okay? People want God to use them. We have to get set apart first. You want God to use you? Then give yourself to the Lord, and when the Spirit of God sets you apart, that's your anointing is set apart, then you'll find yourself doing supernaturally what you've attempted to do naturally that didn't work. And too many people are trying to do things naturally rather than supernaturally because they're not anointed. And here again, I go back, it's not education that consecrates you or anoints you. It's the Spirit of God that's going to do that. Whether you're educated or not, that's irrelevant. You understand? And I'm not knocking education. Obviously, this is a college. But I'm just telling you this, that this is not going to set you apart for God. What it'll do, God can see if you have a desire to learn the things of God, if you have a desire to pursue God and you want to know God, that's not getting by God. I mean, he understands that. And if you prove yourself faithful, then he advances. But if you can't be faithful in study of the Word, how do you think he's going to put you up to present the Word? You have to know it first. There's so much we could say to this, but we're going.
Okay. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people.
Now, this is serious. I mean, if you think about this, and here again, think of this in light of the Holy Spirit, okay? Moses was to warn the descendants of Israel against duplicating the sacred anointing oil. There's people today that mimic the Holy Spirit. They're trying to duplicate the Holy Spirit. They're trying to do with charisma what the Holy Spirit. And what is so amazing is they're duping people. I've sat in things, and a matter of fact, I was at a particular place, and I'm not going to go into detail, and somebody said to me, look what God has done. I wasn't bearing witness. I said, God's not doing anything. This is not God. God's not in this place. They thought I was crazy. But they found out later on that God wasn't in the place. You understand? But people are they like the flamboyant. They like the emotion. They like this and they like that. And charisma will suck you right in to all that. The Spirit of God will deal with your inner man. You understand? And so he's saying, anybody that duplicates this, put them to death. It's a dangerous thing to try to take the place of the Spirit of God, to make people think it's the Spirit. I've had people to tell me, come to me, I've got a word for you from the Lord. It wasn't from the Lord. It didn't even agree with the Word of God. And certainly didn't bear witness to my spirit. But yet they say, the Lord said. And in this day and time, that's just common. Well, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. I believe that God talks to people. I believe God talks to me. But I am very cautious of saying to you, the Lord said. I want to know the Lord said it. Not a suspicion. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want the flesh involved. But you put that on the flesh. You keep him separated. You with me? Now here's another thing. Don't you put that on somebody that God has not selected.
Mm.
You understand? He was specific who that anointed oil was to go on. And here again, we just have mass whatever just to lay hands on people. Well, if God instructed you to do that, then that's fine and that's well. Make sure you're laying your hands on people that God has told you. Lay hands on no man suddenly. Get your direction. Know what you're doing. The Spirit of God is not a toy to play with. And I've cringed at the things that I've seen done in ministry. Playing. Like you're playing with the gifts of the Spirit and things. This is serious. And I believe that this holy anointing oil was pointing to the Holy Spirit. And God's given us a principle here. It's not for the flesh. So don't waste your time on the flesh. Don't cast your pearl before swine. You make sure that you're ministering to the Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, sakti and anchia and galbium. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be like a weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, can't get it out, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy.
So God tells Moses to make a special incense to be burned before the Lord, obviously on the golden altar of incense. And then he gives these following ingredients that this is to be made of. See, God is giving the ingredients, okay, just like he did with the holy anointing oil. And you look at saccharin, onycin, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, equal amounts of this. These equal amounts of these items were to be used and crushed into fine powder. Crushed into fine powders. And from these items, this aromatic product would come forth, pure and sacred. And it was this, of course, this altar of incense is in there in front of the Ark of the Covenant, outside the veil in the holy place. And so that's where the incense was burned, in the tent of meeting where God said he would meet with them. He reiterated the sacredness of this special incense. Give it to me every morning, give it to me every evening. Okay? You'll find here later, we're going to have to stop,
okay, that
this could not be duplicated. And there's much to say about that, okay? I'm telling you that here lately, I say here lately, I don't know, in the last year, several months anyway, seeing things that's so embraced by the church world that is so out of line with the Word of God. He hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you, live before you. Amen.